we're going to move on to another topic, because the shocking attack on PSNI Chief Inspector John Caldwell last night in Omagh was roundly condemned by the main parties north and south, and indeed in the UK today. Grainne's details emerged. Apart from the serious injuries inflicted on John Caldwell in that shooting, it could have been worse again. There was 3 shots hit a nearby vehicle. There were children in the area. His own child witnessed this shooting.
Yeah, I think the incident in itself and the serious condition the detective chief inspector is in is one thing, but the context in which it happened was particularly gruesome. That he was training with his little boy, and that they were finishing up for the night, and that it happened, and that there was complete panic, that parents arrived and they had no idea what had happened, that John Caldwell moved from the car park towards the stadium, and that they kept shooting at him even when he fell to the ground, as the police said today. It's just horrific. And, you know, the Taoiseach had told the Dáil that he was struggling to make sense of it, and I think that's pretty much it. It's like, why would this happen? So I think it's pretty heartening that there's been a complete universal condemnation of it, that the you know, there's pretty swift action, it seems, being taken in terms of pursuing the case, that the investigation that has been launched by the PSNI. And as Drew Harris, the Garda Commissioner Drew Harris, said today, earlier today, he said that even though we wear different uniforms, the Gardaí and the PSNI, were cut from the same cloth, and we're shook by this incident, and that we feel it, you know, as a police force that works closely with the PSNI.
Mary Siri Kearney, the new IRA, it's a hard core. It's estimated of about 200 members, and there has been a security operation mounted against them with intelligence and policing operations, but they only have to get lucky by their own standards once to achieve the kind of attacks that they achieved last night.
I suppose, first of all, this is an active police investigation, so we need to be careful in with regard to drawing any conclusions on it. But if the indications were to be followed through that this is this new IRA, it is quite horrific that any calculation of a murder attempt in the surroundings that it was, and if it were to turn out to be the same organisation, this is also the people who murdered Lara McKee, who and didn't care about the indiscriminate discharge of a weapon in that instance. But let's be clear, I don't think this has anything to do with political views. I think this has got to do with pure criminality and masking a political position or a view on a situation to advance a criminality on the because that's the only excuse here. For the last 25 years, the people of Northern Ireland have been working the Good Friday Agreement, and are continuing to do that, and have a right to assume that they're safe when their children are going for training and, you know, in a sport, and that man had a right to be cherished as someone who is volunteering for his community. So what is here is utterly, it's to be condemned to the extreme, and they need to be pursued, arrested and dealt with the strongest possible way.
Darren O'Rourke, there was cross-community condemnation. There's to be a rally by trade unions. There was a joint statement by the leadership of all the political parties in Stormont. It's one of the rare moments of unity. It's just a pity it took this to see it.
I think it's really important that we do see it, and that we did see it. I think that, you know, this is just to be, I think there was, you know, shock at this incident, but also anger that you know, there are people that want to drag the North back into the past. We're 25 years on from the Good Friday Agreement. You know, politics in the North, like everywhere else, is far from perfect, and we live those frustrations. But there's no popular support for activity like this, and it has to be absolutely condemned.
But whether or not there's popular support for militant activity rarely influences the people who are carrying it out. They see their own cause as a higher purpose. So is there anything beyond a policing response to this? Because condemning attacks as criminality hasn't worked in the past as a means of addressing some of the structural issues. Are there other issues in the context, you know, in the communities that people are exploiting, that are putting them into the hands of thinking of joining organisations like this? Maybe some of those causes that could be addressed.
Oh, I think, speaking as a politician, I think politics has to work, of course, and we have to provide communities with a vision, with opportunity, with opportunity to, and that's one of the further kind of offensive elements of this. Is this happened in a place that was a cross community, a safe place for all elements of the community to come together in sport. That's been well versed today. To continue in those efforts, the process of healing, the process of engaging, in listening to embracing differences, but also working to bridge them is work that is slow, and politicians have a role in relation to it. Community leaders have a role in relation to it, and I think, you know, there's still some way to go in the north in relation to it. But none of that provides. The basis for the type of action that was carried out last night. I think it's important to separate it out. Some people point towards a political vacuum that creates this space. I don't accept that at all. There's politics will work its way through for right. good or for bad, but it's completely unacceptable, and it needs to be condemned in the strongest possible terms. Actions like yesterday evening.
Right, but Patrick Costello, the politics of condemnation, as it's been called in the past, has not really been effective in deterring people who are set on this path, who believe that physical force is the way forward to achieve their aims, and even whether the prospect of achieving their aims is realisable in the short term. It's about keeping a struggle alive.
Well, I think what you asked there about how isn't it terrible that this is what it took for the politicians to come together, those words were also spoken at Lyra McKee's funeral. And I think we are still, Northern Ireland, I should say, is still in a situation where there is a political vacuum, where at that time, too, when Lyra McKee was murdered, Stormont wasn't working. So there is a political vacuum. And I do think that plays into it, because I do think that the community as a whole is without any sort of leadership or vision. And there are very significant problems, social problems. There's a lot of strikes going on at the minute in relation to pay and conditions. There are huge problems, of course, around the protocol, around trade, around employment, around getting investment into Northern Ireland.
But whether or not Stormont has been in place or out of place, the dissident Republicans, if that's who's behind this, have been active.
But I do think, again, if we look at Northern Ireland community as a whole, the support for them is ebbing away and has gone and is almost at some of the lowest it's ever been. In a recent survey, I think only 1% of people said they felt paramilitaries made their community safer. Now, perhaps that's 1% too high. But it is still, compared to where we were 25 years ago or even 35, 40 years ago, it's in a very different place. And what Northern Ireland needs is that political leadership. It needs the institutions working. It needs decisions being made. And it needs people who are actively working to build the community that's there. Because that leadership's not coming from London. We consistently see Northern Ireland is underfunded compared to Wales or Scotland and England. We see funds being cut or sitting still in the face of inflation. So the leadership that Northern Ireland needs is not coming from London. So we must get Stormont back working again.
Just a couple of things on the support for dissidents. Last March, the threat level in from dissident Republicans was lowered for the first time in 12 years. That's kind of it happens. MI5 do an analysis and they say it said the chance of a substantial chance of attack was not likely, kind of, or less likely. And I think that in all indications, that and all other indications were that Northern Ireland was moving away from its past. If this was a political attack, it didn't seem to work, because it was an off-duty police officer training children. You know, it seemed totally random. So I would be wary about ascribing too much political grandeur to something that is just complete barbarism. And I think that's part of the problem with this as well. You can try and divide terrorism and criminality, but they are one and the same thing. That's exactly the same thing about how they recruit young people. They're disillusioned, they're left behind, and they join something to make them feel important, and it's no different.
Okay, well, we're actually going to be looking at young people, sentencing of young people, and what Mr. Justice Tony Hunt described as a yawning gap in Irish law after this.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.